What is up, cybersecurity and cryptocurrency dudes and dudettes? Today is November the 14th of 2018, and this is the Cybersecurity and Cryptocurrency Podcast. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the Bitcoin ebbs and flows of the day, and Bitcoin Cash, and some speculation going on there. Also going to touch on Google's Project Fi and what they're doing now. And then also going to talk about Siemens and what happened to their industrial product lines. And last but not least, we're going to talk about what a Michigan secretary said about cryptocurrencies. And if we have enough time, we might touch on the router botnet and also some of the Google outages that happened recently. So to kick things off here, I think I'm going to start with the Google outage. You may or may not have even noticed. I seriously doubt that most people did notice that it was even happening. But apparently an ISP located in Nigeria somehow redirected Google traffic to China. Now, this was kind of an odd thing. Google came back and said, oh, it's just a fluke and don't worry about it. There's nothing wrong. It didn't last long. It was a pretty quick issue. It looked to be an issue with BGP at that particular ISP, and so it was routing things for some reason out through China. Very odd, but Google says there's no evidence of foul play or anything like that. So that's good. In other news, there is yet another router takeover botnet that is affecting Broadcom chips. It's basically exploiting UPnP. Protocols, and they've already compromised about 100,000 of these routers that have the Broadcom chips on them. So Broadcom chips are extremely common. I know Linksys has used them quite a bit. So I know that it's in a lot of, just cheap Linksys routers and wireless access points and whatnot. So if you do have one of these devices, you need to check out this article and make sure that you're updating and patching your router just to make sure that yours isn't also owned by some hacker guy. Check that one out. I'll post all these to the show notes so everybody can take a look at these too. Our friends over at InfoWars, they have an online store, apparently. I had no idea that they had this. But they are the latest victim of the MageCart breach, or hackers, I should say. MageCart, as you've heard in previous episodes, they were responsible for several other breaches, and they're using e-card skimmers. So they're able to inject code into a website and skim credit card information via the website without even having, typically card skimmers or something that they have to physically plug in. Well, not anymore. MageCart's figured out a way to do an e-skimmer, and they're skimming all kinds of credit cards from the InfoWars online store. I don't know a lot of people that use their online store, but if you do, you might want to get a new credit card because it's probably compromised. If for some reason you're still using your debit card, it's time to get with 2018 and ditch your debit card and always use your credit card. Breaches like this are the exact reason why you need to constantly remind yourself that you have to use a credit card, not your debit card. If your debit card gets leaked, they're going to pull all that money out of your account, and you could be up a creek for a while until they're done with their investigation and they can put everything back. Whereas a credit card, they've got insurance and whatnot for this, and the downtime there is a lot less impactful. So always use your credit card. But InfoWars, they got hacked. Pretty funny stuff there. Other news, Siemens, a big industrial manufacturer, they patched a whole bunch of vulnerabilities in their firewalls that basically put a whole bunch of these industrial businesses at risk. So this was a pretty big deal, apparently, putting all their operations at risk. I do kind of wonder if this was somewhat related to some of the botnet stuff happening, but it did say they patched several vulnerabilities to fix this and to mitigate this. There's no evidence of any sort of breaches relating to these vulnerabilities as of yet, at least based on this article from today. Not saying it couldn't happen, but That's what they're saying, at least right now. So the vulnerabilities specifically were a cross-site scripting vulnerability. So I find this kind of weird, though. I mean, if it's on a firewall and you got a cross-site scripting vulnerability, I sure as hell hope you don't have your firewall's web interface available externally. If you do, that's a huge risk in general. Always need to put that behind a firewall, turn it off. Make sure that it's pointing to your internal network, not to the external. Make sure you have to get on the VPN before you can get to that web interface of your firewall. Just some common sense kind of stuff. Don't ever open that up to the internet because you will get brute forced and people will just hack away at it. And here we go. This is a cross-site scripting flaw for that exact reason. So hopefully Siemens didn't have, or any of these industrial places didn't have that, the router web interface available externally. If they did, then they could have had some issues, but that's still kind of yet to be seen. Our good friends over at Google Project Fi. If you're not familiar with Project Fi, it's Google's cell phone service. It's actually pretty cool. I don't use it personally, but I was looking pretty heavily into it. It uses Sprint, T-Mobile, and U.S. Cellular cell phone networks, and it just bounces around between the three of them depending on what signal is best. The only thing I didn't like about Project Fi is you had to get the Google phones. You had to get the Pixel phones, and while that's great and all, I just didn't really want to use the Pixel phone. I like the Samsung products personally. You can't bring an iPhone over to it either that I'm aware of. So there are some drawbacks to Project Fi. But a new security feature that they are rolling out is an always-on VPN to protect your cellular data transmission. So I found this kind of interesting. Now, VPNs, obviously, for anonymizing what you're doing and preventing people from snooping and preventing ISPs from snooping in on what you're doing, VPNs are great for that kind of stuff. So it is kind of interesting that Google's implementing this always-on VPN. I do kind of wonder how stable that's going to be, because based on what I've seen with not only the Sprint network, but other smaller networks like this, it is very spotty coverage at best. And so I do kind of wonder how they're going to be able to keep this VPN always on if it's, you know, spotty coverage. But either way, cool stuff from Google there. I'm glad that more people are getting on board with the whole VPN thing. I think it's just great for privacy people. And just good for privacy in general for everybody involved. Hackers can't snoop on you. ISPs can't snoop on you. It just makes it much more secure to browse the web and be anonymous, like you should be. All right, so jumping over to cryptocurrency news, as I reported, I believe it was in our last episode, Bitcoin Cash is still going through quite a bit of turmoil. And speculations are that because of this turmoil, there was a whole bunch of sell-off that happened today. Bitcoin fell all the way down to 5,700 earlier today. It did rebound a little bit, but they're saying, you know, speculation is that most of this was caused by the Bitcoin Cash. So Bitcoin Cash is doing a hard fork. Coinbase even has it listed in their app that on November 15th, they're going to pause Bitcoin Cash transactions while that hard fork happens. So that'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. But, you know, there was a huge sell-off today, apparently. And now that I say Bitcoin rebounded, it's actually at 5,600 right now. So it rebounded shortly, and then now it's back down to 5,600. That is the lowest it's been in at least a year. So definitely disappointing to see that. And they say it's all because of this Bitcoin Cash issue that's happening and this hard fork, and people just got pissed off and took all their money out and sold it off, and they got out of the game completely. So I hope that Bitcoin does finally recover back to where it was. We were on such a good run. It was floating around 6,500 for months, it seemed like, and now this whole Bitcoin Cash thing made people pull out of the market, so it's very frustrating. But, you know, that's the way it goes, I guess. unfortunately. But watch out for that hard fork. It's happening on November the 15th. You should see that in the news coming up here pretty soon. And last but not least, a Michigan Secretary of State, that is, she has announced that cryptocurrencies cannot be used for political donations. Thought that was kind of funny. So if these politicians were getting Bitcoin to promote, you know, a certain view or whatever, they can no longer receive cryptocurrencies as part of their campaign funds. Thought that was kind of funny. At least in Michigan, that is. So it doesn't affect everybody else, but politicians in Michigan. So pretty interesting stuff. They're kind of weird as well. Kind of a sidebar topic. I'm still working on my cryptocurrency. I've got quite a bit of it done. It's coming along pretty nicely. I have a Windows wallet. I have a Linux wallet all set up, ready to go. And I'm just doing some tweaking to the blockchain parameters to make sure that the rewards are the way I want them to be and, you know, everything's kosher there. So it's a work in progress, but it's been a lot of fun and, you know, it'll just continue to get better. I did hit a few roadblocks when I was trying to create the Mac wallet. Apparently you have to build it on a Mac and I don't have a Mac. They're saying you can cross-compile on a Linux box to make it work on a Mac, and I just was never able to figure it out. So, at least not yet, anyway. I'll probably get there eventually, but either way, it's coming along pretty nicely. I still have to redo the chain parameters. I tested it again last night. I don't like where it's at right now. The reward structure is very, it's just not where I want it to be right now. So I'm going to redo that reward structure and make sure that that's set up correctly moving forward. But I have to, each time I change it, I have to recompile all the code and relaunch the blockchain from block zero. So it's a little bit of a pain, but nonetheless, we're getting through it, and it's going to be better and better and better. So be on the lookout for that as I progress through this thing. I'm hoping to be able to launch it here pretty soon. It will be proof of stake, and it'll be using masternodes and all that kind of good stuff. The end goal with it is to hopefully build a new email platform based on blockchain. That's kind of my end goal there. And the cryptocurrency would kind of help fund the development of that email platform. So more to come on that, but for now, that's all I got on my cryptocurrency that I'm creating, but it's been a lot of fun. Well, that's all I have for today. I do want to thank our sponsors, Southern Graphics T-Shirt Company, for all your t-shirt needs. You can go to their website. It's southerngraphicst-shirtco.com. Go check them out. They got some really funny stuff on their website. All right, folks, I appreciate everybody for listening, and we will talk again soon.